Would you grab your Bibles this morning and turn to James chapter 3? And we will be covering verses 5 through 12, but what we'll do just by way of remembrance and all and preparation is that we'll look at verse 1. And as last week we covered verses 1 through 4, we'll read all the way through down to verse 12, seeing how it deals with James's message to the tongue. And he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man," or complete man, mature, "able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." In our text for this morning, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue, for it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh." James, no doubt, is talking to us about the incredible power that the tongue has. And we're looking this morning at six dangerous evils concerning the tongue. He's going to enumerate to us six key evils that the tongue is guilty of performing. And you and I might be sitting here this morning and we're thinking, "Oh yeah, you know, preach it, Pastor, that old tongue, yeah, I've been vandalized and victimized by many a tongue in my day." Well, James is going to say to us, our tongue has done some vandalizing itself in this world. In fact, he's going to teach us, I know you just sat down, but don't get up and leave with this little bit of exhortation here. James literally is going to teach us that our tongue in our mouth is really the one that is guilty of committing the six dangerous evils that the tongue has within its power to do. It's something that he's going to show us that none of us as human beings can gain enough power, enough strength, enough planning to bring our tongue under control. I am amazed at what our tongues are able to perform. I mean, think about it. Our tongues can sing songs. A moment ago, we were enjoying wonderful worship. We're singing songs unto the Lord, and our tongues are articulating words that, as we sing, are a prayer unto the Lord. I mean, you can't get anything more holy than that. And then, possibly, not in this church, but in other churches, later today, there will be people leaving their church, and they'll be going down the road, or they'll get their lunch there, or you know, brunch or whatever, and the waitress or waiter will bring something that's not to their liking, and they'll say, "Hey, you know, these eggs are runny. Well, what's the matter with the cook?" Or something will blurt out, and you'll wonder, "Oh, boy, he's a little, a little testy this morning, isn't he?" Or somebody might cut you off and bloop, out spurts this thing. And a moment ago, we were praising the Lord. And then the next moment, it's like, "Why don't you stay in your own lane?" And it's like, what are we doing? Have you noticed in your life that you and I could be like Peter and say unto the Lord and to the disciples gathered around, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in the next moment, Jesus says to us, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, Jesus wasn't calling Peter Satan, but I wish I could have been there, because Peter makes this great exclamation, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood hasn't told you this, Peter. This was revealed from the throne room of God." And I bet Peter's going, "Oh, yeah." And then in the next moment, Jesus begins on that wonderful declaration, I am the Christ, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be really delivered into the hands of sinful men and be beaten and tortured and crucified. And then Peter pipes up and says, be it far from you, Lord. And Jesus rebukes Peter's declaration, but he addresses the fact that it was Satan who was fueling his words. Get thee behind me, Satan. I bet you Jesus looking at Peter, Peter had to look behind him. You know, who are you talking to? Notice that God had influenced Peter's tongue to reveal this great truth, and then in a moment's time, Satan, hell itself, inspired Satan's tongue to say something terribly evil. We're just like that in this life. And for us to say, well, you know, I don't know if I really am like that. Maybe other people around me are like that. No, James says we're all like this. Our tongue cannot be tamed. Only God can control that. True story. In 1899, in Denver, four key writers of the four predominant newspapers in Denver got together to write stories about what's going on in Denver. And as they got together, they all concluded in 1899, there's nothing going on in Denver. And so they were so frustrated that they walked across the street from the hotel that they were at, and they went into a saloon. And they began to drink a few beers, and they began to talk. You know, when somebody drinks a few beers, they do begin to talk. Everything becomes public. They get this jovial kind of generosity with words and even with money. By the way, when somebody's becoming under the influence, that's when you ask them for a loan. You notice that? Oh, buddy, oh, pal, oh, palsy, wowsy. Oh, really? Hey, you got 50 bucks? I'd like to borrow. Because in the morning when they wake up, they'll never remember. And then as the influence of alcohol comes along, they become boisterous and kind of rude. And then they become belligerent, and then they can become passed out. Well, these guys were drinking, and they were ordering more beers and ordering more beers, and one of the guys from the Denver Republic newspaper said, I got an idea. We need to fabricate a story, seeing how nothing's happening in this town, that is going to be something that nobody can really seek out to see if it's true or false. We need to create something tremendous. And so they began to do that. And you know what they did? They said, I know. We will fabricate a story that the Great Wall of China is going to be torn down to create trade and be an announcement to the world that China is going to open its borders to the world. This is in 1899. And they said, we like it. So what they did was they went back to the hotel that they had come from earlier that evening, and they signed in under fictitious names. And what these reporters did, the four of them, they interviewed four engineers that were coming from New York through Denver to California to catch a ship to go to China to engineer the destruction of the Great Wall of China. And they wrote this great story, and it was produced on the papers the following day in Denver. Then it was picked up in Chicago. Then it was picked up in San Francisco. Then it was printed in New York until it was printed in London. Then it was printed in Madrid. And then it was printed in Beijing. And when the communist Chinese heard about this story, that a group of American engineers were going to be coming over to China to destroy the Great Wall of China, China strengthened their borders and began to persecute the Americans and the Westerners that were in China at that time, and began to kill them by the thousands. Unfortunately, they were Christian missionaries. And in 1899, over 3,000 Christian missionaries perished in China under what you and I have read in history known as the Boxer Rebellion. It all started with a fabricated story, a lie. China was so afraid that Americans and Westerners were coming to destroy its Great Wall, by the way, that was created to keep Russia out of its borders. Did you know that? The Great Wall of Magog. We call it the Great Wall of China. And they became so fearful that they killed over 3,000 Christians. All because of a false word. The power that the tongue can place upon a person, upon a nation. used for good or for evil. And so we're going to look at six dangerous evils that our tongues can create. Notice with me the first thing that we're going to look at is in verse 5, and we'll see a couple of points here, but the first point is that the evil danger of our tongue is that it is small. Notice the size of it. It is small. Verse 5 says it's a little member. He says in verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member. And I want you to draw a little parenthesis or something around the statement here, even so. It's very powerful. It connects us with verse 4 of last week, even so. That means the rudder. He's calling us back to look at the rudder. Even so, just like the rudder that steers a great ship. Even so, verse 3, just like the bit that you put in a horse's mouth. Just like a bit. Just like a rudder, a bit who handles a great mighty horse, small, but it does great work. Just like a rudder that can control a great ship, even though it's small. Just like that, the tongue is a little member. You see how James connects that? It's a little member, minute. The word little is very, very small in comparison to the influence of the rest of our body. We don't even consider our tongue. We don't put makeup on it. We don't take much care of it. We often bite it when it's flapping too fast and too quick, or we're eating too fast. We don't, in the morning, get up and dress our tongue. And yet it's literally the little member that governs our entire lives, our tongue. What we say, a lot of people begin to form their opinions about who we are. Have you noticed that? Well, they look nice. Oh, she looks like a nice person. Here she comes. She looks nice. Yes, I told you she was nice. Here she comes. And she walks up there, and what happens? She opens her mouth. And you are either convinced that she is nice, or she convinces you by the use of her tongue. She's not that nice after all. It is this thing of our tongue, as we mentioned last week, that's connected to our heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know that it is very small, it's a little member, but it's connected to the real person of who we are. Of course, we're not talking about the mucous membrane muscle of the tongue. We're talking about, in the spiritual sense, what this tongue delivers. This tongue expresses what lies within our hearts at any given moment during the course of any given day. And that's enough to start to convict us. Because you see, we can sing songs to the Lord, or we can turn and hurt somebody with our mouth. How do we respond to people? Are we conscious of the fact that other people feel? Other people care? Other people are just like us. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you want to hear? Consider that for a moment. What do you and I want to hear in our own lives? Maybe that's what we should be saying. Is what we want to hear. It's connected to our hearts. Even so, the tongue is a little member. The word member here in the Greek is a fantastic word. The root word of it is melos. It's where we get the word in the English, melody. It's a little member created to be a song. The little member, the little melody. It's to be the melodious part of our lives. Our tongues are yielded to singing God a melody. You know, that's how He created us. When He created us in the Garden of Eden, created us in the dust, I say us through our father, our physical father, Adam, and Eve there, mom and dad, the tongue was placed in there, and it was created to be something that creates a melody unto the Lord. We're to sing unto Him. And I find it interesting that the word here, James uses this word, the little melody of our bodies. So the first thing that we see is that we are not to be fooled by the tongue's size. That's the first danger. It's a little thing. James is telling us, don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Even so, like a bit can control a horse, and like a rudder that it can control a great ship, the tongue, listen, even though it's little like those other things are not connected to a heart. They can't make a melody. The rudder and the bit can't do it. It simply exercises the will of the pilot. Regarding the tongue, it is equally small, but unlike the others, it's extremely dangerous. Because of its size, we don't often give it much attention. And he reminds us and warns us that it is something that was created intentionally and in the beginning to be something of a melody. It's important. When we worship the Lord, by the way, we are going back to the purpose and the use of our tongues being originally created. I don't know if you are going to approve of what I say regarding this. This is my opinion, what I'm going to tell you. If you do not approve, do not let me know. Again, if you do not approve, do not let me know, because I like this little concoction that I made up. I like to think that in my physical life, in our temporal life that we live on this world, I like to think that you and I can affect eternity. Because, you know, we are spiritual beings now, that we've been born again by the power of God. We can affect eternity. I believe this. And I'll give you a little bit of proof. When a sinner repents, the Bible tells us, and comes to the knowledge of the Lord, what happens in heaven? Angels rejoice. Now think, where do angels live? They live in eternity. They live in the presence of the Lord. When a person here on this earth accepts Jesus Christ, let's say it's 9 o'clock in the morning here, California time. Well, it's a different time in New York. It's a different time in Hawaii. But what time is it in heaven? It's always the eternal, right? Where God lives, it's always the eternal. He doesn't live in time. So there's an amazing thing. When a sinner comes to faith in Christ, we can say, oh man, look, he came to the Lord at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. But it's not 9 o'clock Sunday morning in heaven. It's now in heaven. And the moment that sinner says, Lord Jesus, the angels say, all right. And they, you know, the party, they're blowing whistles and confetti's going everywhere. And the angels are doing their angel thing. And it's tremendous. In that moment, in a temporal world, on a clock in California, it affects eternity. You have any problem with that? That's true, don't you think? Well, listen, what else? When we pray, in a moment, when we pray unto the Lord, we are leaving this temporal realm and we are talking to the God of eternity in heaven in that instant. Now, you know that's true, because when you're driving down the street and you get caught in the train tracks and that train's coming down the road, what do? You say, oh God, help. And God gets you out of the jam. Or you're not feeling good and you say, oh Lord, help me. Oh, I got to tell you, Friday night, the church went on the fishing trip. And I've never been seasick in my life, ever. And I've been on some pretty cool stuff, pretty rough stuff. And I love to fly airplanes and fly in airplanes. And nothing can get me sick. I've never gotten sick. And I get on this boat and it was kind of rough going out, but I liked it. And we're going, woo, woo! We're on the front, we're hooting and hollering, and wah, woo, you know. And then I'm going, woo, And I'm going, there's no way I'm not sick. I'm not. I would have made the greatest Word Faith Movement guy so proud. I'm not sick. I am not sick. I am not sick. I am not sick. You know, well, you know what happened? Thank the Lord. Because after a while, you know, I got kind of quiet and then my kids are hanging on me and they're going, you know, what's the matter? I'm fine. It's nothing. And I'm thinking, you know, we are so arrogant. I can't believe, I'm sitting there going, I am now more concerned about this boat finding out that I'm sick than the reality of me truly being sick. My pride is going to be damaged any moment now. I can feel it coming up. Well, I was so excited to realize it had nothing to do with the boat. I had driven down to the beach to get on the boat, eating this. I drove through Del Taco and got a macho combo burrito. Have you ever seen one of those things? I mean, the lady, you know, puts it into the car. You know, she hands it, and thank you very much. And I'm driving and I'm eating this thing. And Rebecca goes, she goes, what is this? She's handing it to me. This thing's huge. And I go, it's great. Well, I realized that I ate it in less than 15 minutes, and I'm driving. I wasn't getting seasick. I had completely ruptured my stomach by eating so much food. And thank God I didn't get sick and everything wound up being okay and my pride was saved. But you know what I did? Oh Lord, oh God. And I'm praying, Lord, help me. He heard from heaven my cry, and I began to feel better. In a moment, I was able to connect with eternity where he's at. And through prayer, we can talk to God in a moment. The Bible says that our prayers arise before him as incense. Another way that we can affect eternity is when we praise the Lord. You were just doing it a minute ago. When you're singing songs of worship unto God, he listens in. He loves it. We can affect eternity. We can pull our tongue out, we can sing him praises, and in a moment's time, we can make a melody unto him and really do eternal, eternal benefit. But in the same token, I can turn to somebody on this globe, in this church, in our little fellowship together, and say, you know what? I think you're a nincompoop. And it hurts somebody. And in the temporal realm, that may affect them for the rest of their life. It can hurt them. The Bible tells us that we, as Christians even, will have to give an account to God for every idol that is ignorant, wasteless, worthless word that we speak in the day of judgment. And we might turn to somebody and say, in whatever tone, or in whatever words, and hurt them. Or we can turn and bless the Lord. We can affect by what we say, not only people here, but in a moment, eternity. And we're not to let the size of our tongue fool us. What a great power that it is. What a great purpose it was created to be. In Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says we are his creation, his workmanship. The word in the Greek is his poema. It's where we get the word poem. We're his poem. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared that we should walk in them. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered or ordained by the Lord, and God delights in his way. It's interesting. You would think maybe God is saying of himself that God delights in his, capital H, way. That's not what Psalm 37:23 says. Psalm 37:23 says that if a Christian is following the Lord will direct his decision-making, her decision-making. He will lay out the path before them. He'll go before them. Are you walking with God this morning? Are you fellowshipping with Christ? Then you can have full confidence that the direction that you are going in as you walk with Christ, he is going to ordain the path and delight in your life. In what we do, he wants to delight in what we say. That's exciting. Isn't that liberating? Kind of causes you to be a little bit of a reckless Christian, don't you think? Don't you want to be reckless as a Christian? We're reckless with everything else we do. Why not be reckless as a Christian? It's exciting as we follow him. We need to be so careful, though, regarding our tongue and the damage that it can do. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. Psalm chapter 8 says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all of the earth, who set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained praise. Psalm 8, verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what are we as men that you should be mindful of us? You hear the praise that's coming out of the psalmist's mouth? Oh God, you are awesome. We should be praising him with the little member of our mouths. The second danger that we see out of the six dangers of the tongue, the second danger is found in verse 5 as well, and that's the danger of its boasting. It boasts. It says, and it boasts great things. This is an amazing little statement. It boasts great things. And the word in Greek is neutral. It can go boasting for good, and it can go boasting for evil. Watch this. The word boast means to, this is kind of funny. It's a little word with a huge meaning. It means to tip the neck back and to cock the head up. In other words, to look upward, to tilt the neck back, cock the head up. And it means to make a radical an unbelievable expression to cock the head back and say something that's radical about one of two things. It only has two definitions in its direction that it can go. Of self, who we are, or of, who do you think? God. Isn't that amazing? It boasts great things. Well, what kind of great things? Either the wonderful works of God or the wonderful works of self. Oh, look at me. And it's funny how the Greek word is to cock the head, the neck back, and to tip up the head. Because don't you see people walking around town like that?
Well, yes, it's me.
And their head's in the position of boasting great things of itself. Or the Christian puts his head back and says, Lord, you are awesome. And you are great. It's interesting. It can only go one of two ways. It's like what Jesus said about money or about God. You can only serve God or you can only serve money. One of two things. The danger of its boasting. He says here concerning its boasting, he says, see how great a forest a little fire kindles, or the NIV puts it, I think, better. He says, see how a little spark can consume an entire forest. Isn't that how fires begin in the first place, with a little spark? It seems like every year in Chino Hills we'll have a fire. We haven't had one yet this year, but one will come somehow. They always seem to come. And before it gets near the homes and before it destroys the oak trees and everything else that it does, how did it first begin? With some lunatic either trying to set it or some careless motorist or whatever the case might be. A little spark. It boasts great things. A little spark of praise and worship unto God can influence an entire body. Knowing the message, I was back near the sound booth before the teaching began, and we were all worshiping the Lord. And it's interesting. When the worship group comes up, they start, and it's first service. By the way, we love you guys at first service. You guys are really special. Don't tell second or third or Saturday night this, but I mean it. They get all bent out of shape, carnal people that they are. The spiritual ones are up at first service, aren't they? You've been up all night waiting for church to start. You guys just, you sing. And when I say, why don't you turn and greet each other, you guys are just, hey, how are you? And it's great. Well, when the music begins, we're singing. And then the music leads us further into the presence of the Lord, doesn't it? And then some of you, a hand goes up. Yes, Lord. And that means in Christian worship and in the scriptures as it's written, that we're making this song a prayer. The Bible says we lift our hands in prayer unto Him and into worship. And so then a couple more hands go up. Have you noticed how that happens? And it's not because, his hand's up. I guess I'm going to put mine up too. No, it's just, it's a spiritual event. It's happening. And if your hands don't go up, it doesn't mean you're not worshiping. It's just, we're worshiping. And it begins to spread. Usually starts near the front, because there's less distractions, quite honestly, near the front. It begins to go to the back. You begin to be affected by the praise. Now watch this. We're singing praise unto God. He immediately responds by exposing His presence into hearts. And the worship begins to be kindled. And it starts with maybe one song or a few words to a praise song or maybe a repeated chorus or holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And we sing it over and over again. And then you yes, holy, holy. It starts with a spark. And then the whole body's consumed with worship. The forest is burned down to the ground with one little spark. The head cocked back, making a boast unto the Lord, can do a great thing. The head cocked back and boasting about self can destroy everyone around. See, James is teaching by contrast here. Very powerful. So the second danger, verse 5, is that it boasts. Psalm 150, verses 1 through 6. Listen to this great boast in David's own words. Praise the Lord, he says. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's that word, to make a great exclamation of God's greatness, to boast. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. And he gives a long list of great instruments that we're to use to praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. And Isaiah's own words. Isaiah says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created the heavens, who brings them out by number, the stars. Isn't that beautiful? He calls them by name. God knows the name of every star. He calls them by name. And by the greatness, that is the mighty boasting of God, by his greatness, his might, and his strength, and his power is seen by all. Not one is missing. In Paul's own words, Paul says in Ephesians 1:17, he says in his prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding, that they might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of our calling, that is as Christians, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who love him. That's pushing back the neck, tilting up the head, and making a great exclamation regarding God's wonderful, wonderful power. That's boasting in the Lord. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. See, it's okay to boast as long as you do it in the Lord. That's one of the greatest turnoffs is for people to boast about themselves. Doesn't that just kind of make you kind of ill? By the way, people who boast about themselves over and over again, don't despise them and don't hate them and don't, you know, neglect them. The fact of the matter is that when people boast, or they always have to be the center of the conversation or right in the middle of the group, they have to have it. You know, that, in all honesty, I'm not saying this to be mean. You know what? Love them. Actually encourage them, not in what they're doing, but the reason why they're boasting is because they're severely insecure. They're very insecure and they're very fearful. They may put on a whole different show. But the fact of the matter is, boasting speaks of a very self-centered heart, very selfish heart. Psalm 44, verse 8. In God we boast all day long and praise his name forever. I wish I could say that. Don't you wish you could say that? I boast in the Lord all day long. I'd love to be able to say that, but my tongue can waver to and fro during the course of the day. I don't like it. In 1 Corinthians 1:31, the Bible says, let him who glories glory or boast in the Lord. The third danger we see is that it's as a fire. The tongue is like a fire. Verse 6. Number 3, the third danger found in verse 6, the tongue is like a fire. He says the tongue is a fire. It's a fire. It's combustible. It's a flame. It's something that burns. It's something that's dangerous. The tongue is as a fire. It can scorch. It can burn. It can afflict. It can kill. The fourth evil of the tongue, the fourth great danger, is that it's worldly. Look what he says here. It is a world of iniquity. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that with many words that are spoken, sin is sure to be present. Jesus gave a little quicker version of it. Jesus simply said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Have you noticed this? When someone says, if you just ask somebody, were you there 8 o'clock Tuesday night? You know, attorneys in the courtroom, they watch for this. Were you there at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night? You should say yes or no. You know what happens? Yes, and the reason why, and the attorney, the courtroom, the jury, are there listening. And with every bit of yapping that goes on, inevitably, we will indict ourselves. It's kind of sad, I think. This happens to me more often than not. And it's this. Someone will come up to me and they'll say, Pastor Jack, you know, I think I better tell you something. And they go on to confess something. And so, you probably heard about it by now. And I'm sitting there like this. And they get all done, and I say, actually, I didn't hear about it at all. And they go, oh. And chances are, I probably wouldn't hear about it. But they wind up coming and indicting themselves. And out of guilt or out of concern or even out of self-defense, someone might say, well, you know, and it's not even necessary. The tongue is like a fire. It spreads into places that's not necessary. Now, in the wintertime, I love a good fireplace. Aren't they great? They just absolutely alter my, I'm a weirdo, major weirdo, because I can be in the most sleepiest mood or the worst mood or a work mood or any kind of a mood, but if there's a fire in the fireplace, I just kind of start to drool. I just mellow out, and it's like, and it just grabs me, it arrests me. You ever walk into a restaurant, there's some restaurants, the fireplaces go in there in the restaurant, and I just stand in front of it. And it's just, it's captivating. It's beautiful. I don't know what it is, the crackling sound, the look of the fire, just as it dances there in the wood, it's incredible. I love it, especially when it's cool outside. Just knowing it's cool and it's warm in here, it's just like, it feels like you're cheating. Like you're, I've got something nobody else knows. Oh, this is great. Until an ember flies out of the chimney and lands in the field next door to your house and burns down the whole city. Did you know how the Great Chicago Fire was started? It killed 272 people, by the way. By a cow kicking over a lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn. It burned 3 square miles of Chicago. 15,000 to 17,000 buildings were burned and over 270 people killed. By the way, from that fire, Dwight L. Moody had preached a message that morning on that Sunday morning and did not give an altar call at a crusade. And Dwight L. Moody said, I will forever give an altar call with every message I preach because of those who could have made decisions earlier that morning. Wow. It's a fire. The fifth evil, the fifth danger of the tongue is that it's a poison. Verse 6 says that it is so set among our members. Actually, I skipped one, didn't I? The worldliness. Number 4 was the worldliness of the tongue. That's the fourth danger. The fifth danger is the poison of the tongue. It says here that the tongue is so set among the members that it defiles. That's the word poison. It can poison the entire body. And by the word, the word here used is about our body, physically, our body. Our tongue can be used that is in such a way that it results in our bodies being destroyed or greatly poisoned because of the use of our tongue. Physical sickness or physical harm. You can say something to somebody and they can punch you out. So put that tongue back in the mouth and your cheeks and your eyes and your nose and your teeth will be very happy that you kept it there. It can damage the whole body, poisonous. But I find it interesting because the word here of ownership, it's my tongue. It's my tongue that defiles my life as well. I just don't open my mouth and it is limited to just me only. It can defile myself and others. And so here, the sixth and final danger is in verse 6 of the dangers of the tongue. It says that it sets on fire the course of nature and sets on fire, is set on fire by hell. That's the sixth and final thing, is it's the danger of its origin. Literally, people, in fact, I'm going to ask you not to believe what I'm going to tell you, because it's so true that it's shocking, and you and I are going to want to try to prove this wrong. What James is saying in the sixth great danger of the tongue is that it is something that is literally connected to hell itself. Literally, the hell of Satan's domain. Our tongue can be immediately influenced, though we're a saved, born-again Christian going to heaven, our tongue can be immediately influenced by literally hell itself, its very power. That is shocking, and that's exactly what James is saying. Very, very quickly, verses 7 through 12 now, and this is just his illustrations and his warnings. He says, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. That is amazing truth. You ever been to SeaWorld? That little girl walks out there with her little wetsuit on, and she goes, and Shamu, all 20 tons of her, comes up and jumps over the rope. That girl says something, blows a whistle, waves her hand in the air, you know, and Shamu goes up and squirts us all with water. This massive thing. How does that happen? Can you imagine walking into your house? Or you walk into the company? People look at you. What's your problem? That girl can be at SeaWorld, snap her fingers, and that great behemoth jumps out of the water, and she can go home to her 13-year-old, because I have one. And you go, and they go, what? I can do that. No respect. Why? Because the human tongue cannot be controlled. We cannot control it. We can control animals. We can train elephants. We can train whales. I've seen a trained insect. How do you train an insect? You can't give him a biscuit. When he jumps over the thimble, you can't give him a treat. But I've seen them. How do you train an insect to obey? I don't understand it, but it happens. But the tongue, who can train the thing? The Bible, James, God is saying, you can't train the tongue. It's impossible for us to try. Well, I'm just not going to. This message really inspired me to keep my mouth shut because I'm quite the gossip. So I'm going to really stop gossiping. You can't do it without a heart change by God. It's impossible. He's going to tell us this. Can't do it. Why? Verse 8 says, no man can tame it. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God, similitude, likeness. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, Christians, this can't be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same time? Impossible. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? It's impossible. Can a grapevine produce figs? No. Thus, no spring can yield both fresh water and salt water at the same time. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. Six great dangers of the tongue. We need to watch out for its danger. We need to see how it's controlled, and that is by the power of God Himself. God has got to have access to our tongue. And then He shows us, by these great contrasts, a fig tree can't produce grapes. Neither can a foul mouth bring praise to God. We need our hearts changed so that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth might praise the Lord and bless our neighbors. So important. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning, and we ask of you, Lord, that you might receive our confession this morning. Every one of us would be absolutely silly to think that none of us need healing in this area. Your Bible tells us that every one of us have a problem with our tongue. So, Lord, we ask you that you might exercise your kingship and your lordship, your sovereignty over our tongue. Lord, if it's gossip, convict us and set a watch upon our mouth. If it's lying or boasting or speaking evil, if it's the devouring of others, putting them down and cutting them in pieces and talking down to people in mean tones, Lord, forgive us and renew us regarding our intended created state that we might bring praise to you and bless the men and women, the boys and girls that come in contact with our lives via our tongues and what we say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.